Good afternoon, everybody. Glad to see all those that could make it out today. It was not going to be a short lesson to begin with, but I did not realize before I left here that my iPad that I read off my lesson off of is about to die, so I can make this pretty quick, so because I don't know if I can do this off of memory. But anyways, before we get into our lesson, I do have a creation slide for you today. This was from NASA's Image of the Day, and this was the picture from last week, last Sunday. So, that is the picture, and that is a picture of our star, our sun. And so I don't know how well you can see, depending on how far back you are, but there is a little spot in the middle of that picture. And if you're thinking that's a sunspot, you would be incorrect, because that little spot in the middle of that picture is actually the outline of the International Space Station as it is coming across and orbiting across. And so it shows kind of a blow up in that top right corner, the outline of what it looks like. But the International Space Station, the ISS, is passing in front of the sun in this picture. Now, it didn't say in the description how close this station was to the sun. I would assume it's not anywhere near it, because if it got anywhere near it, it would obviously be burnt up and go up in flames. But anyways, it is passing in front of the sun. And this was from the description of the article. But apparently this picture was very, very difficult to take. This picture, it says, was composed of three different images that were taken from the same spot and at nearly the same time. And then they were all cut and kind of spliced together to make this one image. The reason that this picture was so difficult to take was because the International Space Station, it only passed in front of the sun for a fraction of a second. And so since it was moving so fast and at such a distance away, it was a very difficult picture to take. And it's one that doesn't happen very often, one that we don't get to see very often. And so I looked up a few facts about the International Space Station. According to NASA's website, it orbits the Earth around 16 times in a 24-hour period. So that equates to about one rotation every 90 minutes or so. And while it's traveling in space, the International Space Station travels at a speed of 5 miles per second. So since we live in America, we're used to the miles per hour. So 5 miles per second and converted to miles per hour is about 18,000 miles per hour. So it's moving pretty quick out there. And so that kind of explains why that picture was so difficult to take when you think about it. But anyways, moving on to our lesson this afternoon. I said earlier it's not going to be an overly long lesson, but since some of us are maybe still in the holiday spirit and we just got through Thanksgiving, I thought we could just go look at just a few things that we have in our lives as Christians that we can remember to be thankful for always. But before we go any further in the lesson, we have an opportunity to go to God in a word of prayer. Before I get started, one thing I wanted to highlight, and I'll probably say it at the end too, but and this is something I think we do a really good job of in our worship today, is Thanksgiving Day, that should not be the only day of the year that you are reminded to and you remember to give thanks for the blessings that you have. Thanksgiving should be the only day that you get together, you give thanks to God, and you just, in general, be thankful for what you have. We should be thankful all the time, not just that one day of the year. And I think that's one thing that we do a good job of emphasizing in our worship, and I just wanted to highlight on that before I get started. But anyways, moving on to the lesson for the evening. If I were to make a lesson about all the things that we need to be thankful for in our lives, I would never be able to leave this pulpit. There are an endless things that we should be thankful for. And lucky for all of you, I only picked three today to go over and highlight. So, the first of the three is one of the things that we should always remember to be thankful for is family. Now, I know all of you have your own friends and family that all mean a lot to you, and you're all very thankful for them. I know for my personal self, I would not be the man I am today without the family that I have, and I'm very, very thankful for the family that I was blessed to be given. But whenever I say family, whenever I talk about family in this lesson, I don't mean your literal, your brothers, your sisters, mother, father, grandma, grandpa, cousin. I don't mean your literal family, but whenever I say family in this lesson, I want to talk about our family in the church. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. You all meet together to worship God. A passage in Matthew chapter 12, it tells us there that Jesus is preaching to the multitudes. And while he is preaching to the multitudes, it says that his literal mother and his brothers are trying to get, they're outside trying to get his attention and trying to get a hold of Jesus. So Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 46, the Bible reads, "While he was talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you.'" And so after hearing this, Jesus decides this is a good time to make a good point to his disciples, to preach to his disciples, and he responds by gesturing out to the crowd that he was speaking to. So verse 48, "But he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my brother and my brother. Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and sister and brother.'" And so, just by reading that passage, if we do God's will, if we are faithful to Him and worship Him, we are to be considered as part of His family, as part of Jesus' family. And I think we can all agree that there's no greater family to be a part of. I probably have shared this story before in one of my lessons, but I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but one of the few shows I have watched, it's called Game of Thrones. That's kind of irrelevant. But throughout, I think there are 8 seasons in this show, but one of the constant themes throughout this show is it's all about your family. It's set in like medieval times, but each family, they all care about their kind of the lineage and their dynasty that they leave behind. And so throughout the show, it's just, all it is these families fighting and going to war constantly throughout the whole time. And two of the main families, their names were the Starks and the Lannisters. Now the Starks and the Lannisters, they could not be more opposite. One was good and kind of, they were just good people. The other one was terrible people. One thought one thing, the other thought the other. And because of that, they were constantly fighting and going to war throughout the whole time. And so, both families, their entire objective throughout the entirety of the show was to become the most powerful family that ruled the land. The most powerful family, the most wealthy family, and all that good stuff. That was their entire objective throughout that entire show. And so the reason for saying that and the reason for bringing that up is, well, you know, in that show, the families were all worried about doing anything and everything in their power to outdo and overcome the other families. As members of the family of Christ, we know we don't have to worry about any of that stuff. We all know who the most powerful family is. We all know who that is. Now, the family of Christ, it might not be the most powerful family here on earth in this realm. That might not be the most wealthy family, but we all know that in the end, as the spiritual family goes, members of the family of Christ are in the most powerful family. And that is an awesome family to be a part of, just as the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1. There's a verse there I want to read from. So 1 John chapter 1. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us all from sin." And so, being a part of that wonderful family, the family of Christ, is something we should always forever be thankful for and grateful for, that we just at least have the opportunity to be a part of such a wonderful family. Our second thing that we should always remember to be thankful for and give thanks for is just the fact that we can pray. There's nothing quite like prayer in our lives today. There are so many positive aspects and things that go along with prayer. At least to me, I've always felt prayer to be kind of a comforting place, and it's always felt very easy to me. If I'm ever overwhelmed or it feels like my life is running at 1,000 miles an hour and I can't ever seem to slow down, just getting away and praying always seems to kind of relieve some of that stress and bring my anxiety, but just the thoughts swarming around my head, they always seems to bring them at ease. And I believe that prayer is meant to be that way. It's meant to be a comforting place. In a verse in Philippians chapter 4, this is verse 6 and 7, the Bible tells us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I believe it's meant to be a comforting place. It's meant to be an easing and relaxing place. With that being said, I do believe that there is a specific way that we ought to pray. There are things that should be said in prayer, and I believe that there are things that should not be said in prayer. Anytime I think of this, this reminds me of a book that I used to read whenever I was a little kid. Growing up, I was always a really big fan of the series was called The Diary of a Wimpy Kid. That was the name of the book series. And anyways, in one of the books, there was several, I can't remember which one, but in one of the books, the main character, his name was Greg, and he was a middle school kid. But in one of the books, Greg, he notices his grandma. His grandma has, in the past couple days, she's had a lot of good luck with getting her prayers answered. And so for the picture for this page, it shows the grandma praying. It says, Dear Lord, please help me find my keys. That was her prayer. And of course, the keys were sitting on the counter just underneath a napkin or something. So she was obviously able to find her keys with not much trouble. But Greg saw her praying for help finding her keys, and she was able to find her keys. So he thought she was having some good luck getting her prayers answered. And so since he noticed her having good luck getting her prayers answered, he thought he would try a prayer of his own and ask for $1 million or something like that, something silly. And so I understand that as it's just a silly book, but I think that kind of gives people the wrong idea about prayer. Prayer shouldn't be a time where we ask God for something meaningless that we just happen to want. I could ask God, please let my fantasy football team stay healthy this year so I can beat my friends. I've gotten last almost every single year. Just give me this one year. Just let them be healthy and let them have good seasons. I don't think that's how we should pray. That is meaningless and has no point to my life. There's no reason that we should be praying for those meaningless things. However, a passage in Matthew chapter 6, I believe, gives us a pretty detailed and detailed instructions on how to properly pray, what to pray for, what to ask for, and what not to say, what not to ask for in those prayers. So Matthew chapter 6, it's starting in verse 5. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 reads, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many, many words." And I wanted to make a point here. One word that immediately comes to mind when I read this is the word fluff. Fluff. The hypocrites and the people that just say a bunch of words in their prayers, they're just fluffing their prayers up. I've always been a numbers guy. Writing has never been my strong suit. And in every single writing assignment I ever had throughout high school and college, there was always a requirement. You have to write at least 750 words. You have to write at least 5 pages. And so what I would always do is I would always write as much as I could. I would write the intro, the body, the conclusion, everything I needed to write, I would just sit there and write it out. And without fail, I was always short of that requirement. I never had enough words, never had enough pages. So then I would just go through and I would fluff my paper up. I would add descriptions where they didn't really need to be, but they added words. I would repeat what I just said, but just use different words and different phrases so it makes it sound different. I would just fluff it up, and I wouldn't really add any value to the material that I was writing. I was just making it longer and more wordy. And that's kind of how these people used to pray. They would say a bunch of words, they would pray for a really, really long time, but the value of their prayer did not increase with these more words and this longer time. So the Bible says, do not use vain repetitions, don't repeat the same things, don't just say this thing, same thing over and over again just to make your prayer more lengthy. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. They think that by saying more stuff in their prayer, it's going to be more acceptable in the eyes of God. But God said that's not the case. So, anyways, continuing in verse 8. "Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you need before you ask Him. And in this manner, therefore, pray." And then here is the Lord's Prayer, just the sample prayer that we are given in the Bible. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so that is kind of the sample prayer that we are given in the Bible. Now, this passage in Matthew was before the foundation and the start of the church. That was before the kingdom. But anyways, that was kind of the sample prayer that we are given. We are told what really to ask for, kind of how to pray, and also at the same time told what not to ask for, what not to say. And so, I believe with that, there is a certain way that we ought to pray. There are certain things that we should say when we pray. There are certain things that we should not say when we pray. Prayer is not a time to ask God to give you $1 million. Prayer is not a time to ask God to help you win your fantasy football league. Prayer is not about just seeing how long you can pray. There is no reward for praying for an hour a day. I mean, if you can pray for an hour a day, that's wonderful, as long as it's meaningful. If you're just repeating the same words, if you're just fluffing up your prayer just because you want it to be longer, I don't think that's how we should pray. But instead, I believe prayer should be a time that we give thanks to God for the blessings that we received and to ask help from God to live our lives and as a better example of His children. And so, now we can come to this verse that I have up on the board. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. And in this verse, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now prayer is a very, very powerful tool and powerful resource. Not only is it a very comforting place and a very kind of a safe zone, but it's also a way for us to communicate with our God, and it's a way for us to make our voices heard to Him. And very similar to our previous example of family, something to be thankful for, just the fact that we can pray and make our prayers known to God is something I think that we should always remember to be thankful for. And so that brings us to our last little example, and this last example is by far, out of this lesson and just everything in general, this is by far the most important of all. And that is the fact that Jesus gave up His life on the cross for us, for you and for me. Because without that, we would have no hope. Isaiah 53, verse 5. "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And it's by His stripes that we are healed." Without that selfless act, without that sacrifice, we would have no hope. We would be doomed. We, as humans, as people, we are an imperfect species. And heaven is a perfect place. Heaven is a perfect place. It's home to God. And it's a place that we, as imperfect people, can never reach by ourselves. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The only way to heaven is through Jesus. If we were to try to get there on our own power and on our own power alone, I think we'd be very, very disappointed at the outcome. Because we are an imperfect species. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And if we were to be judged on our sins, there would not be a person alive that would be worthy of earning their own salvation. There would not be a person alive worthy of having a spot set aside for them in heaven. Because it is through Jesus and through Jesus alone that we just have a hope at earning our salvation and spending eternity in that perfect home with God. And all of that is because of the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross that day. A sacrifice, a debt that we can never repay, and something that we should always, forever, ever be thankful for. It's a debt that we can never repay, but it's something that we should always remember to be thankful for. Not just that one day, the fourth Thursday, I think it is, in November, but it's something we should be thankful for every day. I said, at the beginning of the lesson, I wanted to highlight that because I think it's something that we do a very good job of here at this congregation. We always remember to be thankful. We always pray and give thanks to God for the blessings we have. And like I said, it's not something that we should be thankful for the fourth Thursday in November. And that day only, it's kind of, you know, give thanks that day, then the rest of the year you're good. I don't think it should be that way. I think we should be thankful year-round for the blessings that we have. And so, to name three in particular that we went over today, just your family in Christ, the family in the church, the fact that we can pray and know that our prayers are heard by God, and that Jesus bared the sins of the world. And so, with those three things in mind, that kind of concludes the thoughts I had for this evening. I mentioned earlier, it was going to be a long lesson. We did make it. My iPad did not die. It only went down 6%, so that's pretty good. But anyways, that concludes my thoughts for this evening. Hopefully, something I said was beneficial, but now we can stand and sing the song of invitation.